Over all the earth.
What's taking place is a cosmic disturbance of heaven. What is creation? That's not the new understanding. lawlessness is not increased. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the word of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. You see, the word those who perish, that means those who live are taken out of way. Do you understand you're either alive or you're dead? Do you understand that? That when you've been born again, you've been given life, and now you live eternally. Whatever happens to this flesh doesn't matter anymore because you live eternally. But if you've never been born again, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you are dead even while your flesh has breath. You're either alive or you're dead. You see, he takes those who are alive out of the way because of the Spirit of God dwells in them. He removes them. He removes the Spirit of God with them. And all that's left is those who perish, the unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. God shows them, has shown grace to the Gentiles, and they refuse. And God is cleansing his people. So it is still John, it's a revelation of judgment of the Gentiles who spurns God's grace is being revealed and a reminding of the people of Israel because God keeps his covenant is also being revealed as a testitude by the Olivet Discourse. You say, what? The Olivet Discourse? Turn to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, I want to go over a few points as we get ready to find out in this because I want to give you something to read before you leave today. In Matthew chapter 24, that's known as the Olivet Discourse. And after Jesus' denunciation of the leaders of Israel, this takes place. What was his denunciation of the leaders of Israel? Back in Matthew chapter 23, he's walking around the state of religiosity. City to city, that all you may come. understand that as you read what you're going to read tonight and throughout this next week. Because many people come and they say, well, I don't know what this is all about. I'm telling you what this is all about. Matthew chapter 23 is laying the groundwork for the millennial kingdom. Then you get to Matthew 24, look at this. It says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. The picture is this. After Jesus has just given this whole horrendous statement to these Jewish fathers, he leaves the temple area. He ascends, which tells you he goes up, right? Where did he ascend? The very place that he's going to come back one day, says, feet upon the millennial kingdom is established. A place that's looking down over the temple, a place that he ascended up to where they have a full view of what he just talked about with these Jewish leaders. And as they're looking over this full view, some minutes later, if not all an hour or so later, somewhere in a time frame of distance, they go and they still weigh heavy on the minds of the disciples. And look at verse 2. And verse 1, Jesus went out to depart from the temple, and his disciples came unto him to show him the buildings of the temple. And what he just said was just basically he called everything that's going on there wrong. And he said, but don't you see the good of the standing? Then you get verse 2. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. What did Jesus just say concerning the things of Israel? There's going to be destruction. This temple is not going to stand. These stones are going to be thrown down. Everything's going to come crashing around it. And that elicited the question of the disciples. And the disciples just couldn't hold back any longer. In verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's where he ascended to, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what be the sign of their coming and of the end of the day. But he said, when they ask him the question, when will these things be? And they're asking him, we want to know, is this going to happen soon? Is it going to happen now? And he's not talking, they're not talking about the rapture when they ask when will be the sign of their coming. The rapture is imminent, which means it can happen any moment. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The rapture can happen any moment. So there's not a sign associated with that.
What you're going to read in that is you're going to
is to cleanse Israel, to purify people, and to bring judgment on the Gentiles that scorn His grace. That's a lot to read, isn't it, Pastor? Not when you're trying to say. Not when your understanding of the plan of God is in hand. Not when you get to understand that God is doing something here and now that is setting the stage for the same question that the disciples asked of Him after He chastised the leaders of Israel. Whenever they ask that question, it's a question that you and I should also be asking, understanding that He has a plan to set everything right. And when He comes in the millennial kingdom, it's because He has cleansed the earth, because He has purified the Jews, and because He is setting up His rule and His reign for 1,000 years. The question I will leave you with today is, has that happened to you? Have He purified your heart and soul? Has He cleansed you from all unrighteousness? Have you come in and He set tribulation in your heart that you could not stand the things of evil anymore, and you had to walk away from them and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has that happened to you? You see, has the cleansing through judgment, the refining of Jesus Christ happened to you? Because that's why Jesus went through judgment that He went through. Not because of His sin, but for you. So have you given your life to Christ? Because what you see is true. Me in different areas. One day there's going to be a judgment that falls on each person individually. We read about it in concert with nations of people today. But one day there's going to be a judgment that falls on each and every person who does not trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Romans is absolutely true. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't wait for the fire of the refinement to take place. Trust the one who has already redeemed you so that you can be refined. We'll pick up here next week as we need to see what Matthew 24 brings to an answer. But I hope that you have the answer of salvation in your heart today. That you've given Jesus the right to rule so that you may rule right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that it's not just a punitive judgment. Many people think, Father, of the God of judgment, the God of wrath, and they think it's just punitive. They think it's just vindictive. But God, it's not that. It's a just judgment that is so deserved in each one of our lives. Because, Father, every one of us have rebelled and turned against you. But yet, God, the judgment that you bring during the tribulation period is not on those who have trusted in you. It's on those who have scorned the grace that you have offered. It's a refining judgment for the nation of Israel to bring them to a point of place of recognizing, Father, your hand and your will. And so, Father, as we look into this, that you grow our understanding of exactly what lies ahead, so that we can live more circumspectly in the day that we walk in today. Father, I pray this in all things in Christ's name. Amen.